Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, this is a club update. We meant to have him on the full show yesterday. It didn't work out, but we had to talk to him. It is, of course, Dan of formerly Baggies Facts, now 1878 WBA, if you check them out on Twitter. Dan, West Bromwich Albion are in ridiculous form right now. A long shout from the last one of these we did, talking about how Pulis was on the verge of getting sacked and then miraculously signing an extension. What's happened?
I don't know. I think it's a slap me. I can't believe it, to be honest, mate. It's ridiculous. It's actually not too. It's not massively ridiculous, because the one thing I've always said along all the times that I've criticised Pulis and the times where I've probably said that Pulis needs to book his ideas up in terms of our playing style and not being so defensive at all times, is that we've got the players to be able to do what we're currently doing, beating teams and beating teams comfortably, especially in home games. I've always said that we've got the players, and Tony Pulis always played us down and kind of said it as if it's, you know, maybe we're just West Brom and we are going to struggle. And do you know what I mean? Like relegation is a serious threat, and, yeah, and staying up is a massive priority, of course, which it is. But I think the Baggies fans have knew all along that we've got the quality of player to be able to push in towards to the top half of the table. And so when those that question why the Baggies fans that were frustrated with Pulis try and make their point, I would always say that he's just proving us right, really, because we've always said that we think he's got the talent available to be doing what he's doing now.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
It certainly does. Because you're doing it now, exactly to your point, yeah.
And I do genuinely think that the owners have had a say in terms of just hammering home that we need to be playing more attractive football, because crowds are dwindling. They have been dwindling. It is quite tough being the only West Midlands club, because we haven't really got a real rival to go up against. And as much as it's great to be the most prominent club in the area, it's sort of missing that edge, because we've got no close rival, if that makes sense. And I think we're just trying to attract more fans to the club. And the way that Pulis was setting his team up for a lot of games last season, and maybe towards the early parts of this season, it wasn't going to turn people's heads, and it wasn't going to make people think, do you know what, I'm going to go and watch West Brom play football. Hmm. But the case at the minute is that people are very much, I'm sure, going to be encouraged by what we're doing, and you know, if we can attract some more fans to the club and get the stadium full, and then it's, you know, that can only be a good thing. And I think if you look at how we're playing recently, we've scored 3 or more goals in 5 games at home this season. And for me, I think that's ridiculous. But we've never done that in a Premier League season before, and we're only halfway through. So, yeah, absolutely chuffed right now. I'm glad that Pulis has got us playing football. I'm not going to be so stupid as to be so rigid to say, you know, my opinion on Pulis was that I wasn't so happy, and that I'm going to stick with that opinion and say that, you know, regardless, I think we need a change imminently, because, I mean, there will be Baggies fans that think that way that really are against Pulis, but I would be stupid to make those comments. So as a fan of West Bromwich Albion, the only thing I want to see is for us to be winning games and putting on good performances and getting results against the teams in and around us. And if we can take points off the bigger sides, it's a bonus. So I'm absolutely chuffed at the minute.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. And as a neutral, I've been tuning into these West Bromwich Albion matches because you play some great football right now, and because I have Matty Phillips in my fantasy team and have done for about 2 months, and everyone that's listened to my advice on that subject should be thanking me right now. He has been absolutely immaculate. How do you think that this form really came out of him? Because kind of like you were saying about your whole team, the ability was there. The potential was there. It just seems to all be catalyzing at the moment.
I think with Matty Phillips, I think there was a little... He got dropped for the game before we played Leicester City. And then he put in an immense performance against Leicester. And I think since then, it's just continued. You know, I think he's one of those players. I think he's definitely a confidence player. If he knows that the team around him are going to offer him support, if he knows that if he does make the odd mistake that nobody's going to get on his back, then I think he's going to produce for you. Of course, he's not one of the top players in the Premier League in terms of pure ability. But sometimes, you know, if you've got the perseverance to keep going and to keep trying things, then it will come off for you. And you know, his confidence is really high at the moment. What's unbelievable to me is that he hasn't had a look in terms of international football with Scotland in the recent squads, even before Christmas. So hopefully that's going to change for him going forward. And he's second in terms of assists only to Kevin De Bruyne in the Premier League. And to say that he had a poor start to the season, if he'd played like he has in the last 2 or 3 months throughout the whole season, people would be talking about him signing for a big club, I'm sure, because that's what happens when you do so well. So for £5 million or so pounds, in terms of signings and value for money, he has to be the Premier League signing of the season so far. And I don't think anyone can really question that, to be honest.
Can I tell you, I think there's another underrated one, and just because I'm selfish, Wanyama for 11.
I would agree with that, but still, that's double the amount of money spent on Kevin Phillips. Absolutely. From a championship club as well.
Matty Phillips. Kevin Phillips, different story.
Do you know, he's the best Phillips to play for Baggy since Kevin. I think... You can just see he's really confident. He's got the ball on the wings, and he switches wings as well when we're playing. His delivery has been fantastic. His delivery from set pieces as well, from corners, have been fantastic. I don't know if you noticed. Yeah. He put in the cross for Chris Brunt to get ahead. And Chris Brunt is rarely ever in the box for corners.
Because he had both assists from crosses, right? Corner?
Yeah. And Chris Brunt's headering in from a Kevin Phillips corner. And
you keep saying Kevin Phillips.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's because... I'm really sorry. It's because he's such a great man in the Baggies history.
Yeah.
From a Matty Phillips corner. So.
Oh, as soon as we get a king, I'm calling him Ledley every chance I get.
Bound to happen at some point. But it's not just really Matty Phillips. There's a whole squad of players that are really excelling at the minute. And I wouldn't say that they're playing, you know, out of their skin. They're just doing what I think their abilities are allowing them to do. You know, I think there's probably more to come for us in certain games and certain situations. You know, we've got Johnny Evans, who's just absolutely fantastic at the back. McCauley, despite a blip in recent weeks, has played brilliantly against Hull City with that match-saving tackle at the end of the first half. McLean, when he's been coming on and when he's been starting, has been, you know, fantastic. Lots of energy. He scored twice for us this season. Rondon up top, his recent hat trick. That was fantastic against Swansea. Three headers. Only the second player to ever do that in Premier League history, a hat trick of headers. And we're playing that well at the minute. But the one player who was our star performer and the one signed that was meant to be, you know, a notch of the rest, I wouldn't say he's invisible because he's playing his part, but he's not taking as many headlines because of a lot of players around him. Brunt,
and
Morrison.
And this is what I talked about in my Chadley breakdown for you guys when you signed him, is that he does a lot of stuff off the ball, and so when he's not contributing directly, it's really easy to kind of lose sight of him, but he's still running the channels, he's still spreading out the defense, I would assume.
No, he is, and he's certainly adding to what we've got, and we'd be a poorer side without him. But he's just not putting in that final ball or scoring that goal that gives players, because that's what gives players headlines, isn't it? But I'm sure that's going to come in the second half of the season, because he is a class act.
Mm. And you got to imagine that'll help mitigate some of the regression that you could face. Because when Matty Phillips starts coming back to earth, if he ever does, maybe he's actually going to win a Ballon d'Or someday. but when Matty Phillips starts coming down, you'd expect eventually Chadley is going to be better than this as well. So maybe that will help. It was my big thing this summer was regression-proofing your squad. And I think that's definitely a case for that. So as I mentioned, last time we talked, you very deftly mentioned the Chadley thing, which obviously was going to be brought up by me anyway. But the other big thing we were talking about, as I mentioned in the intro, was Tony Pulis and his fate. Are the fans more on side now? Can you, as a fan, because you've been very critical of the bad times, but have been praising in the good times, how much longer do you think he'll be at the club, and how much longer do you want him to be there? And has that changed because of this recent run of form?
Well, he's got a new contract, so I assume he's going to be
sure
in the club for the long term now. He's not everyone's cup of tea, you know, because when we are defensive, we are ultra defensive, and it can be a tough watch at times. But there is no doubting that nobody minds us going to Arsenal. Nobody's going to mind us going to Spurs. Nobody's going to mind us playing Man City, United, Liverpool, etc. With those style of tactics, it's not going to bother us fans, because we accept that in order to get results against the bigger sides, which have clearly got better players than ourselves, then you need to limit what they're doing, and hopefully, because of how good we are at set pieces and corners and free kicks in and around the box, and how we're expressing ourselves on the counter attack at the moment, then there's the potential for us to go there, put 9-10 men behind the ball, and then press quickly on the counter and try and win corners or try and, you know, catch a goal on the break. And I don't think anyone's got a problem with that. And then you add to the fact that we've been, I wouldn't say that we've been outplaying teams, because that's not our style. We had a moment against Hull where Hull were really sitting back in the first half for a little while, and it was almost as if the Baggies players were looking at each other like, well, what do we do here? You know, the other team hasn't got the ball. We do allow the opposition a lot of the ball, but we have also been using it very well on the counter attack, fast flowing football through the centre of park to the wings, and getting crosses over, and it's been really working for him. I don't know if you remember. When Pulis first came, that was what I thought would be our style of play.
Mm.
And he's Tony Pulis is for whichever reason, he's managing to get this team playing the kind of football, you know, for a club of our size, which is he's pushing on entertainment, you know. So. Absolutely no complaints with how we're playing, how we're doing, eighth in the league. There are still some people that are never going to like Tony Pulis because of who he is and what he's done before with Stoke, etc., and how the extreme end of his tactics can piss people off. But against the right teams, he's doing the right things, and you know, I couldn't ask for any more as it stands at the moment. And he's certainly brought a lot more time, because I do think that maybe two or three more games into a bad run, as it was when I last spoke to you, I do think his job was definitely on the line. But, you know, he was confident in arresting that slide, and he's done so with some aplomb. It's been really enjoyable supporting the Baggies this season. And I think that's always, you know, being a supporter of a club that finishes in the bottom half of the league, usually trying to hopefully push into the top 10. That's all you can ask for, and maybe a cup run. And so the cup game, yeah, coming up, that's going to be quite important for us fans.
Yeah, I'll get to the cup match here at the end. But right now, you already mentioned you are currently eighth. You're being linked with some exciting names, which we'll also get to in a second. But as you mentioned, it was looking like a relegation fight for a while there. Now looking like a fight for a European spot. Where do you think this will end up come the end of the year?
It's a tough one. I'm that confident in how we're doing at the moment. Even when we was losing 1-0 to Hull at half time, I thought, you know what, we can still win this game, and we did so comfortably. I don't feel that we're gonna stop beating the teams towards the bottom end of the table. I think we're going to keep doing it. So I think a top 10 finish would be deemed a success. If we were to still be in and around the European spots when it comes to maybe the last 6 or 7 games, that would be fantastic. And it would be, you know, if we could get a European spot, I'd be absolutely ecstatic, because it's a dream, it'd be a dream come true, really, because I'd love to see my club playing matches around Europe, and I'd love to go and follow them and do that. Before anybody messages me after this and says I'm calling for Albion to be in Europe, and I think that's what's going to happen, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we've got the ability to be pushing those spots, and should things come together and should we get a bit of luck and the right things drop for us, then you never know, maybe we could do that. But it will depend as well, like you say, on reinforcements, I think, in January. And with us in the position of eighth at the minute, I think it gives us a much better opportunity than in previous January transfer windows.
Yeah, and there's the segue into transfer windows, because there's a big one on the horizon. And I talked to you off air. I have been high on you guys basically this whole run. And so I went out and said that if you signed Morgan Schneiderlin, which is a pseudo-realistic possibility, that you could look further up the table than where you are now. Mm-hmm. And somebody said arguably there's only one spot left because the top six are clearly the top six. But my point at the time was there are many instances of this lately where a player of significance signs in January and then that team makes a run. If you think Poppy Cisse and Newcastle, that year that they pushed up to fifth, you had Everton, that year they finished fifth. Third example, I don't remember what they were, but I was like, this is not a surprising thing. Southampton made a charge a little bit there. What was that, 2 or 3 years ago when they were like top four in December? Like this happens. A, what do you think the likelihood is that you'd actually cough up the money? Because I know you were looking for a central midfielder in the summer as well. What do you think the likelihood is that you sign a player, either specifically him, a player like that, and how much could that boost your chances?
I think that the Albion chairman has actively said that he's looking for first team squad additions. Now, that's not something that Albion rarely, you know, as a club, we rarely come out and talk about transfers and say that this is what we're going to be doing. It's usually a bit of a guessing game. But I do feel this window, we're going to be talking serious money, and we maybe even get a couple of players in that are going to not just be squad players or players for the future or loanies, but potentially a couple of players maybe that are going to come straight into this team and strengthen us even further, which is going to be a shame for a couple of players that are probably playing well for us at the minute. But if we can strengthen this team, then, you know, it's all about that, to be honest, as a fan. The likelihood of Schneiderlin... you know, I'd like to say it was very likely, but I don't see it coming off. But there is no reason why we can't go out there and get a player of, you know, of similar qualities to Schneiderlin. I do feel that Fletcher could maybe do with a rest here and there. I don't think that he's been our most formed player this season. His passing can be a bit lacklustre. I think he loses concentration sometimes in games. And he does let his man go sometimes. So if anyone is going to be dropped out of Jakob and Fletcher, I would like to say it'd be Fletcher, but, you know, whether Pulis stands by his captain or not. But, I mean, if you talk about Schneiderlin, there was mentions earlier, you know, probably a couple of weeks back, of us being interested in Fabian Delph. And that would be a similar level sort of signing, I feel. So, I mean, again, I'm not going to stick my neck out and say, oh, the Baggies, you know, we're a big club. We're going to manage to get these deals over the line. It depends on many factors. One of them being money. And
well, the money is there with the new owners now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That could be the one thing that really does get it over the line, especially due to our position in the league. I'm talking myself into being optimistic here. Hey. You need to be careful. but if, I mean, you know, 20 million quid, we can afford that now. It's crazy, but yeah, we can afford to go and splash 20 million quid on a player should we think that player is important enough for us to go and sign. And if we were to get a top-class midfielder, and we definitely need another striker.
I don't think we can get Hal Robson Kanu? He had an assist.
Robson Kanu scored a cracker against Southampton and bagged an assist against Hull. But even with two strikers, they could both get injured in one fixture, you know, and then we're left with Fat Berahino. So, you know.
Who, by the way, you can really mark his drop in importance because he's on a free right now and no one's talking about it.
Yeah. And do you know what? Well, you know how I feel about Berahino.
I sure do.
but the problem is he's getting to a point now where I think his best option in terms of playing Premier League football is to sign a new contract at the Albion.
Yeah.
Because I don't know whether clubs are going to want to take a punt on him. And if they are going to want to take a punt on him, they're not going to be offering him the money that Albion are offering him, which is around 60k a week. So, you know, he's done this himself, and I just hope to God he gets himself out of this situation. If he signs a new contract for the Baggies, which I personally couldn't care less whether he does or not. In fact, I hope he doesn't, because I'm just sick of the whole affair. But if he does, he does. He needs to get his head down and score goals and get the fans back on side. And then we can maybe work towards repaying us a bit and you know, for all of the shit that he's put, you know, hard-working Baggies fans through with his pathetic antics. So, yeah, I mean, we wouldn't need a third striker if you could guarantee that Berahino's head was going to be on it and if he was going to be scoring goals, but unfortunately we can't do that.
Hmm. And Chadley will promise you that he can play as a false nine, but don't trust him. We tried that.
Yeah, I don't think he has any intention of playing up top, to be honest. there was talk of Shane Long.
But until Austin got hurt, yeah.
Yeah, but even then, I wouldn't be that fussed. There's been talk about Snodgrass, Rudy Gested from Villa, but he's pretty much sealed the deal to Middlesbrough. There's been also Kevin Stewart at Liverpool has been mentioned. Luciano Narsing, PSV.
Ooh, there's been a few players. Fun. Although you already have wide players.
Yeah, but these are the kind of names that we're looking for. I mean, Kevin Stewart might be an option from Liverpool, but again, it's probably going to be a loan. It's not going to be a big name player that the fans probably want. But I personally would love to see us get another striker. Probably looking abroad for the right kind of quality, because you're always going to be paying too much, I think, if you're looking at Premier League players. I wouldn't be that disappointed if we were to pick up a player that's not going to walk straight into the first team. But it would be good to sign a player that's really going to be able to come in and challenge Rondon for that first team spot. I mean, who knows with transfers, because we get linked with a different player every day. If we used to have signed all the players we've been linked with so far, then we'd probably be able to put two first 11s out.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, while we're talking about transfers and everything, there was a period of time where you were saying Niom looks a good player, maybe just not on the wrong foot, out at left back, has been playing better, now not going to Africa. Do you think that's still something that you need to fill?
No.
All right.
Do you know what? I mean, personally, I would like to see Niom shifted to right back and Dawson shifted to centre back to play with Evans once McCauley.
Oh, you could do a back three. Everyone's doing it.
Well, I know, I don't know about a back three, but I think McCauley is pushing in terms of his age now, and Dawson is more suited to the centre back role because he does get forward well, and he's more of an adequate in the right back slot, but you still know he's not a right back. But to be honest, it would be good to sign a left back in the window. It'd be great to get Charlie Taylor from Leeds. I'd love to sign him with his contract running out.
A name that may be like around that kind of backup for now level potential long term option is Ben Chilwell at Leicester, who's been talked about a lot for other clubs as like that backup, grow him to be the next good left back. I don't know, just a thought.
I'm not sure Leicester are going to want to lose him, to be honest. True. I mean, if Neon's got to play at left back for us the rest of the season, he can do, because I do love the bloke, as do the rest of the Baggies fans. He's been a standout player, to be honest, apart from probably Matty Phillips. He's been so solid at the back. Despite him not being left-footed, he's managed to get himself into positions going forward to be able to deliver crosses and support the attacking players. I mean, I don't know if you watched a bit more than the highlight, just the highlights against Hull.
I was watching it.
Well, Niam in the second half was almost he was almost in every single position going. He was playing on the left of a back three because we matched up Hull. But he was getting forward on the left wing. He was challenging in the middle of the park. Yep. And there was even one instance he was on the edge of a box ready to pull out a shot at the back. So he just pleases fans, I think, with his attitude. And with he's got ability. I wouldn't even say he's just a stopgap now. I'd say that he's made that left back slot his own. Although he didn't play there from the start against Hull, where Brunt was preferred, but I think that's because of the opposition. I think Pulis wanted more attacking minded players on the pitch, which just shows you where Pulis is at now as a leader.
Crazy to think of just a few months ago. All right, well, we'll wrap this up with a preview. We could do two, I suppose, but we'll start with the preview for your FA Cup match that you have here coming up, obviously against Derby. What are you thinking about this one?
As long as we can progress to the fourth round, I don't care how we win it. I would like us to play a strong side. I'm not going to go out and say we're safe yet, but you know, we need three more wins pretty much to guarantee our safety in the Premier League. And I'm sure we can manage that over the last 18 games or so. So it would be great if we can play a full-strength team. Really, really, you know, I'm not saying we're going to turn Derby over by any stretch, but to put in a Premier League performance and to assert our authority and to be what is effectively a lower league side and, you know, moving into the next round of the cup, it would, you know, as an Albion fan, and I've said this numerous times, that the only way of achieving a real success for a club of our size is to go and challenge in one of the domestic cup competitions and try and get into Europe that way. And if we was to push in towards the latter stage of the FA Cup, I think excitement around the club would really start to build. It'd be the icing on the cake of what has been a very, very good season so far.
Yep. I guess we should talk about this. It'll tear our friendship asunder, but West Brom will be playing Tottenham in the next Premier League match. Both of us riding into this match in blazing form. What are your hopes? What are your thoughts? Do you think you're going to nick the points? Do you think you'll get something? Or pessimism, which must be hard for you. I know that you're deeply a pessimistic person, but things are going so well at the moment.
Do you know what? There's no reason why we can't go to Spurs and get 3 points. There's no reason why we can't. We've got the players to do it. We're playing... You know, we went to Arsenal and we lost by a single goal, yet we had chances to score before they did. Against Chelsea away, and they've been turning teams over for fun. We went very close to going a whole game without conceding against them. If we play a similar sort of style and get a bit of luck, then you never know what sort of result we're going to come away with. And, you know, in recent history, we have managed to get some results at White Hart Lane. So it's a ground that the Baggies fans enjoy going to. There's no reason why we can't go out and win. But that doesn't mean I'm predicting an Albion win either. You know, it's going to be an extremely tough encounter, especially with Dele Alli, you know, scoring goals like he's never scored before.
And he's doing it with his head now, because, you know, he needed another way to put balls in the net.
Well, to be honest, I put Eriksen in my dream team before Dele Alli went on this mad run, and I just wished that I'd have gone for Alli instead.
I mean, Eriksen's getting the assists. It's not a total loss.
He did, yeah, he did. He's been racking up points a bit, but it's nowhere near as much as Alli. But, yeah, there's no reason why we can't go to White Hart Lane and get 3 points. But if you want a proper prediction, I'm gonna go and say a score draw, maybe a 1-1, because as much as we have been scoring goals of late, we've also been conceding the odd 1-2, which we sort of gone under the radar, though, to be fair, and rightly so, because if we're scoring goals, if we concede one but score three, who cares? You know, we've won the game.
And you're still 8th in goals allowed, so you're still top 10.
Yeah. But we have done better than... I'm not even going to mention it. It doesn't matter. We're scoring goals.
There it was. That's where the negativity was about to come.
I think it would be a bit of an anomaly, to be fair, if we was to get a result at Spurs. Because if you look at the teams that we've beat and the teams that we haven't beat, we've beat all of the teams below us pretty much. I think apart from Bournemouth away, we lost that one. And then all of the teams above us, we've struggled to get results against. So our position in the league table is backed up by the fact that we've beat all of the teams pretty much, or got points against the teams that are below us in the league table. So maybe this might be a game for Spurs to take, you know. But to be fair, it's a bonus fixture for ourselves. Spurs are, you know, looking quite tasty this season. Along with, you know, I can't call who's going to finish in that top four. It's madness this season. So every point's important. And I'm sure Pochettino is going to want to try and find a way of beating Tony Pulis on the day.
Yeah. From the Spurs side, we just beat Chelsea, so it's inevitable we're going to draw this one. So I agree with you. I think a score draw is definitely on the cards. And both of our defense is very good. Both of them love conceding exactly one goal. I think 1-1 seems the obvious choice there. All right, well, Dan, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us. Always a pleasure. Tell the folks where they can find you.
Yeah, formerly Baggies Facts, but now 1878. You can find our website, 1878.net, all words as opposed to numbers. And then our Twitter feed is available, 1878_WBA, which is the numbers as opposed to the letters, if that makes any sense to you all. We're getting lots of pieces online at the minute. We've got a couple of new writers who are contributing, which we're really grateful for, and their pieces are well worth a read. The most recent one from a new writer of ours, Matt, has gone online in regard to how Pulis is winning over fans and his support of Tony Pulis, which I can only really agree with. And there's going to be a piece online tomorrow, I believe, from our regular writer, Heidi. I don't even know what she's wrote about. She's a free spirit. She can, she, you know, I'm sure it'll be a good piece. So yeah, you can check those out online at 1878.net. Thanks a lot for having me on, Kev. Cheers.
Yep, pleasure having you back, and we hope you keep listening.